This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is singer-songwriter Josh Ritter.
Wanna go where the sweet water is, wanna go where the air is pure. I need the sky so big, I can give my heart to her. Somewhere along the line, our little train jumped the tracks. She lost a little faith in me, it'll take a little time, gonna get back. What happened to the riverbed? What happened to the prairie fire? Can you tell me where the lightning went? Every time that you met my eye, didn't notice when the wind picked up. I wasn't looking when the clouds rolled in. If you ever fell out of love, could you ever fall back again? Out where the sweet water is, out where the air is pure, out beneath the sky so big, I can give my heart to her. I've been letting a lot of things slide, I've been letting a lot of things go. I thought I was the one for you, but the truth is sometimes I don't know. What happened to the riverbed? What happened to the prairie fire? Can you tell me where the lightning went? Every time that you met my eye, didn't notice when the wind picked up. I wasn't looking when the clouds rolled in. If you ever fell out of love, could you ever fall back again? Out where the sweet water is, out where the air is pure, out beneath the sky so big, I can give my heart to her. Hey, baby, there's a place I found, still believe that we can stay in love. I believe a lot of things, honey, when the sky is big enough. I believe a lot of things, honey, when the sky is big enough.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome by phone Josh Ritter. How are you doing, Josh?
Really good, really good.
Great
Thanks
to
have me here.
Yeah, great to have a chance to talk shop with you. We should tell listeners that Josh is calling in today from Coral Grove, Iowa, out on the road, and he's been touring around the West as we speak to him today here in getting towards late July here in 2016. Sermon on the Rocks is the most recent recording by Josh, and joshritter.com is the name of the website. Josh's music will undoubtedly be familiar to a lot of our listeners, certainly in large part because of the proximity of your hometown to Missoula and Montana, and Western Montana in general, having grown up in Moscow, Idaho.
Well, yeah, it's like growing up, Missoula was exotic. It was the place that you would go.
A Riviera of sorts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man, that's great. Well, yeah, it's kind of just down the street, so to speak, from Western Montana. A lot of things that we want to talk about today. Certainly, I want to touch on Sermon on the Rocks, the most recent recording. But I wanted to reference your live performances because as we are speaking today, just a couple of days ago, I had a chance to see you perform live, kind of a mix of some solo performances along with primarily the band. And man, what a great energy from the group, great group of musicians.
Thank you.
Yeah, but one of the things that really stuck out to me was there's just a sheer joy in your performances that I haven't seen from somebody in quite some time. I mean, you were jumping up and down between songs because you were so excited. I mean, it certainly came across as a very genuine affection for the crowd and just an enjoyment of that environment.
Well, yeah, I feel that I'm very lucky that's what, you know, happens to me when I get on stage. You know, I feel like I know a lot of like other folks who get on stage and you know, they feel that same joy, but it doesn't express itself in the same way.
Yeah.
And for me, I just, I get on stage and it just, I'm thankful. It just kind of happens. It's like, it kind of, your everything, all your worries, you know, go to sleep for a little while.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and, you know, at the end of the show, it's a really amazing feeling. It's interesting. It always feels to me like before a show is just the moment of, you feel like a racehorse, you know, you feel mm-hmm. like you're just about to go. And it's such an exciting feeling that nerves sort of, they come into it in a really positive way.
Has it always been the case for you as a live performer?
Well, I think so. Yeah. You get better at certain things. Like you get better at, like, you know, for some reason now I don't always forget the words, you know. I used to forget the words all the time, but for some reason now I focus on other parts of the show and the words just come easily. But I think, you know, in terms of joy, like that joy has always kind of been there from the very beginning. That feeling of, like, you know, that whatever happens is going to happen, it'll be okay, you know. We'll all get through this. So, well, you know, if it feels like a metaphor for life to me. It feels like, to me at all, it feels like that, you know, you get embarrassed and you move on.
Henrietta, Indiana, Milltown, locked the factory down and shut it up tight. My daddy and my brother and 1,600 others lost everything they had in the night. Daddy got a taste for the hard stuff. Henrietta, Indiana was dry. We'd ride out to Putney, he'd tell me he loved me. The drive home was always so quiet. He had a devil in his eye. Like a thorn in the bud, disregard for the law, disappointment to the Lord on high. My brother practiced preaching in the basement, perspiration on his face till I knew that something was missing. His spirit was willing, he could not believe it was true. Blessed be the poor, he said, your treasure is on high. All of Henrietta, Indiana heard me hallelujah when I finally saw the devil in his eyes. All the devil in his eyes. Like a thorn in the paw, disregard for the law, disappointment to the Lord on high. I was coming home late, from midnight to 8. The radio said that ID'd the place, left 3 men dead, made their escape by 9. Said the sheriff, they'll be in the next day. Will we be able to catch them? Can they bring the dogs in? Can they call up the bureau? Do they have next of kin? Cameras came to my door, I opened it wide. They thought I was crying, it was something in my eye. Bible open to the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed be the poor of Henrietta, Indiana, but happy are the ones that get out. I think I'll drive over to Putney. The store will be open till 12. The empty parking lot, the lights, the lonely kid, the register, I see it all clear as a bell. I got a devil in my eye. Like a thorn in the paw, disregard for the law, disappointment to the Lord on high. Like a thorn in the paw, disregard for the law, disappointment to the Lord on high.
A Josh, I want to touch on Sermon on the Rocks, of course, the most recent recording. And I like this description. I'm trying to remember where I found it in my research, but the messianic oracular honky-tonk. I don't know if that was a term that you came up with or the reviewer, but I like that. And from what I've read, you had a very strong reaction to the completed songs in the process of writing the material for this recording.
For sure. It was for some reason there are times when I guess, you know, you stop worrying about whether what you're writing is good or not, and then you just suddenly start to write, and then those are always those kind of like magic golden hours that kind of come out of nowhere and you know, just kind of grab you, and there's something about the way a song kind of comes together and the place it comes together that leaves you, you know, excited to record it because you're excited to remember that moment. And that happened with a number of songs on the new record. There were, you know, this kind of witching hour came around and suddenly like it felt okay to like write whatever and all these different sorts of songs came out, and of the many that I wrote, these were the ones that I felt fit together the best into a record. And I knew that the time for others would come later, you know.
Do you find, as a writer at this point in your career, do you go into the process with an idea of what you want to write about, or is it more a case of you just kind of let the writing happen and then worry what it's about when it's finished?
You know, it's a process of kind of discovery where I personally don't ever really know what I'm going to write about before I start, you know. There's something that has to happen. There has to be like sort of a dovetail between some kind of lyrical twist and a piece of music, and you know, something has to grab hold. But you always start out with nothing, and then as you travel on, you know, you get glimpses of what might be ahead. And especially in some of the songs that I've written that are story songs, that are kind of more involved, like tales, you know, there's always an inkling kind of about halfway through that the song is going to be about such and such. Mm-hmm. And then you can write towards that. But really until that point, you don't really know what's going on in the song at all, which is why it's like, it's really fun. I mean, it hasn't been written, but it feels like it has to be discovered.
Do you think that, is that that feeling that you're getting from the writing process at this point, does it relate to being comfortable with just in general with yourself?
Yeah.
On a broader level, I guess, is what I'm speaking towards.
I guess I do feel more comfortable as a person than I used to. I don't know whether I should, or because I've just gotten used to being who I am. I grew up for so long and feeling like such a high school nerdy kind of freak that I sort of like grew comfortable with that and feel good about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's maybe who I still am, you know?
Yeah.
I hope.
This is John Floridis, and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight. We're speaking today by phone to Josh Ritter. Josh, I know that you spoke on the fact that you have a very Western quality to your music. It's very much kind of not based, but at least rooted in a sense of region. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I guess that I'm not a big fan of autobiography, you know, in songs. I gave myself one pass, you know, in that regard. But I personally find that like, that writing autobiography is not as interesting as writing outwards. But at the same time, there are like the senses that kind of pervade, you know, and help us to describe everything in life are based on the places where we're from, you know. And so I notice the smell of pine trees, you know, and I write about that, you know, or I notice the gravel roads or something like that, or the smell of the fresh oil on the gravel roads, you know, while harvest is going on to keep the dust down, you know. Those are things that I will remember and describe. And then for that reason, I think that where you're from is really like, is impossible to get away from when you're writing. And so it is kind of autobiographical.
All that love, all those mistakes, what else can a poor man make?
I gave up a life of crime. I gave it to a friend of mine. Something else was on my mind. The only ghost I'm haunted by. I hear her howling. Idaho, Idaho. And wolves, oh, can't you see? There ain't no wolf can sing like me. And if it could, then I suppose. She belongs in Idaho. With packs of dogs and cigarettes. For those that ain't done packing yet. My clothes are packed now, I wanna go. Idaho. For 7 years I got your letter in Tangier. I thought that I'd been on a boat. Tell that single word you wrote. That single word landlocked me and turned the mast to cedar trees and the winds to gravel roads. Idaho.
Josh, you mentioned earlier in our conversation that sometimes you struggle with remembering your words, which to me, I would struggle terribly as a singer trying to remember all the words that you write because you are so virtuosic with the use of words. But what I wanted to ask was your use of lyrics beyond even the content. It seems almost like at times it's used almost like a rhythm instrument. Is that something you're conscious of, or is that just something maybe I'm hearing as a listener?
I think that it's something that like I'm conscious of on a reptile level, you know. Like there's rhythm that comes out of the words that forms its own patterns that I have no like I know that there needs to be something that rhymes with like something else right here, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. And in doing so, there's an inner rhythm that comes out of the single line. It's really cool. And like, it's like when it, stuff like that happens, it's really like kind of thrilling to kind of see how it comes together. I love when a song starts to make sense.
Can you expound on that a little bit for our listeners?
I'd say that like, and like, for instance, I had a song, which was this, Getting Ready to Get Down, which is just a, you know, like kind of a funny song about like a girl who's too risky for the town, and they send her away to a Bible school, you know, and it's about her coming back. I had one line that had been running through my head for years, you know, which is "Mama got like you and got a little worried," and I never knew where it was gonna be used, so that I had it in my head forever. And then one day, it just, the whole song just came kind of pouring out. And you know, there was a moment when that song just didn't exist, and that moment when everything fell into place and made perfect sense. And I think most about what writing is waiting around for those moments, you know, and just being there with your pen when they come around.
Mama got a look at you and got a little worried. Papa got a look at you and got a little worried. The pastor got a look and said, y'all better hurry. Send her off to a little Bible college in Missouri. And now you come back saying you know a little bit about every little thing they ever hoped you'd never figure out. Eve ate the apple because the apple was sweet. Kind of God would ever keep a girl from getting what she needs. And I'm getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Now people cross the street when you walk in their direction. Talk between the teeth and throwing epithets. And the doctor thinks the devil must have got you by your senses. But to live the way you please doesn't sound like possession. It's 4 long years studying the Bible. Infidels, Jezebel, Salomas and Delilahs. Back off the bus in your own hometown. So you didn't like but then you probably won't like me now. But I'm getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. All the men of the country club, the ladies of the Zilla are talking about love like it's apple pie and liberty. To really be a saint, you gotta really be a virgin, dry as a page of the King James Version. No la las, no hell yeses, no I can't wait. So gotta see you again, says turn the other cheek, take no chances. Jesus hates your high school dances. You off to Bible school, you learned a little more than they had heard was in the golden rule. Be good to everybody, be a strength to the weak, be a joy to the joyful, be the laughter and the grief, and give your love freely to whoever that you please. Don't let nobody tell you about the who you ought to be. And when you get damned in the popular opinion, it's just another damn of the damns you're not giving. I'm getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Mama got a look at you and got a little worried. Papa got a look at you and got a little worried. The pastor got a look and said, y'all better hurry. Send her off to a little Bible college in Missouri. And now you come back saying you know a little bit about every little thing they ever hoped you'd never figure out. The Red Sea, the Dead Sea, the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to see a miracle, watch me get down now. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. Ready to get down, getting ready to get down.
Josh, I wanted to talk about that other writing endeavor you took upon yourself, writing a novel. And I'm sure you get asked this a good bit, but I'm really curious as to maybe the relationship between the two writing forms. And if there is any kind of relationship, if they play off one another, the idea of writing a novel and songwriting.
Yeah, like there's like some real major differences. You know, one, and that I didn't know about going in. You know, one is that as a songwriter, you can write a song in an afternoon sometimes, and then you can play it, and people will clap.
Yeah.
And as a writer, you just don't that kind of constant energizing doesn't happen. You sit in your room and you wait for a good thing to come around, and if it doesn't, like you have nothing to show that day. It's very lonely in that way. In other ways, though, they're very similar. Like with a song, you're trying to get one perfect word after the next, you know, over and over again, and just the same way as with a novel. And I think really even in a novel, like the best novels I have, like, you know, their language is concise, and you know what's going on. You're not, there's no mystery. And I feel like that there's something that's really like appealing about that in a song as well sometimes.
Did you find that your songwriting was changed at all by even just like the completion of the novel? I'm just kind of curious if that would kind of birth something new inside you, or if it was just kind of, you see those two things as very separate deals.
No, I think I thought about that, writing a novel as being able to follow a song through a door, you know, and you end up in the world of this song, you know, that you could unfold this whole song into a world. There's something I really enjoy about like, you know, about letting mystery into songs as well. You know, you like that there's like you can bring up, you know, situations and details that don't necessarily always make sense, but always can make for mystery and allow for like the imagination of the song to be kind of broader. There's something about like that I really love. That I think came out of writing a novel was a sense of mystery coming from small details.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and we're speaking today by phone with Josh Ritter, calling us today from Coral Grove, Iowa. Josh, yeah, what are you doing for fun these days?
Right now, I have a 3.5-year-old daughter, and so whatever she thinks is fun is for me.
That's a good attitude.
Yeah, that's the one I'm choosing, and we've been doing all kinds of fun stuff. This is actually the first tour that she hasn't been with me on since she was 3 months old.
Mm.
So it's a little weird that she's not around right now, but I'm going to see her in about a week.
Oh, great!
Great. And then we'll do whatever hobby she has now, which is, I imagine, involves beads.
Beads.
she can't get enough. She loves the world.
Sermon on the Rocks is the name of the most recent recording by Josh Ritter. JoshRitter.com is the name of the website. That's Ritter with two T's, JoshRitter.com. Thank you so much for making time to call us from Coral Grove, Iowa, and talk and shop with us here on Musician Spotlight.
Oh, John, thank you so much for having me on, and I really appreciate it. This is a total pleasure.
I feel a change in the weather, I feel a change in me. The days are getting shorter and the birds begin to leave. Even me, yes, yes, y'all, who's been so long alone, I'm headed home, headed home.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Josh Ritter. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes and also through PRX. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.